I trust this morning that is the prayer of your heart, that you might allow God to have his way in your heart and life. It's important, isn't it? Sometimes it's easier said than done, though, isn't it, as well? How precious, how good. Just want to make a comment on the words that Brother Larry read a few minutes ago from Timothy. These were Paul's instruction to Timothy as a leader. And I just feel like this morning those are important words. As a matter of fact, some of those words were words that were used when I became ordained as a minister back now several years ago. And I'm grateful this morning for the word that never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Aren't you glad? It's still applicable, 2021. I want to look together with you this morning and notice an Old Testament character, one that God called him in Judges chapter 6. If you want to turn there in that passage of Scripture, Judges 6. You say, what in the world can come good of Judges? But Judges is an important book in the Old Testament and some very interesting stories. And when God called him, he said, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Interesting, after that the Lord helped him to understand and saw the need that he was challenged by God to become the leader of the Israelites, and he accepted it. But we need to understand the circumstances or the background, or we might say today the backstory of that day. The Israelites had been disobedient or evil, as it says in the Scriptures. Interesting, if you study the Old Testament, you'll find the Israelites often repeated that disobedience. They would, for a while, listen to God. They would be obedient and follow God. And then pretty soon, they would be disobedient. And they'd begin to worship the idols that were near them and that were part of that country of that day. And God gave the Israelites over to the Midianites and others near them. Each time the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and others ruined or destroyed them for 7 straight years. Now, I don't know about you, but after 7 times, you would think that you would learn, wouldn't you? They tell us it takes us 3 or 4 times to get a habit. But you would think after 7 times that the Israelites would learn that they needed help. And they did, and they cried out to the Lord. And God heard their cries or prayers and sought an unexpecting man who was thrashing wheat in a wine press there in verse 11. He was actually, in reality, hiding there so he would not be seen by the Midianites. And in his character, we find some excellent characteristics. And his name, of course, is Gideon. First of all, we notice that he was teachable. Look there in verse 11 with me, if you would, please. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Asbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? And when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have, save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Am I not sending you?' 'But Lord,' Gideon asked, 'how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in the family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you. You will strike down all the Midianites together.' Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I will wait until you return.' Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meal in a basket and his broth in a pot, he brought them out, offered them to him under the yoke. The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Take the meal and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock, and pour out the broth.' And Gideon did so. With the tip of his staff that was in his hand, the angel of God, or the Lord, touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flamed from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Excuse me. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Asmerites. Excuse me. We read in verse 22, when Gideon realized he was able to learn from the situation of the Israelites, he was willing to become involved in helping the Lord overcome the enemies. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he only asked questions like most of us would have asked there in verse 13 and 15. Excuse me. If, why, where, how can I? He was willing to accept whatever the angel said to him. He was ready to learn from the new experience in verse 14, save Israel out of Midian's hand. Gideon learned an incredible lesson from God, or his angel. He decided to make an offering to show his appreciation and soon realized it was God talking to him through an angel. When he gave his offering in verses 21 and 22, with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Gideon realized that it was actually the angel of the Lord. Now, I know about you. If you saw fire come out of a rock, what would be your response? Most of us would say, "What in the world's going on, right? What's happening?" It's interesting that Gideon realized that God was talking to him and how important that is. Some might say this was coincidence, but not Gideon. He was open and he was receptive to God's mysterious ways, and God showed him who he really was and is. Aren't you glad this morning that God did? God is faithful. He knows exactly what he's doing. Remember again that God said to him through the angel, "I will be with you. Go and I'll be with you." Did he not also say that to Joshua in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament? "Go, lead the children of Israel, and I will," what? "Be with you." He was teachable. Do we ever come to that place in our lives that we are no longer teachable? Do we think we know it all? Careful now, preacher. I want to tell you this morning, I keep learning, hopefully every day. I want to be teachable in the hands of God. I want to be open, receptive, do we not, as His people, as His children, to become teachable and hear what God is trying to tell us as we read and study His Word? Not only was He teachable, but He was true, or He was faithful. Notice again there in verse 25, that same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar, to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of its height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you can cut down, and offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took of his 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than the daytime. Interesting, isn't it? He did it at night. But in the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down Asher pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's case? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So that day they called Gideon, Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal contend with him because he broke down Baal's altar. God asked Gideon to counter the evil of his day. There in what we just read, tear down your father's altar to Baal. Build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God. Because Gideon was afraid of him and his family and the men of the town, again, he tore down the altar at night. Did you know there was someone else who came to Jesus at night? You remember in the New Testament, there was a man called Nicodemus who was afraid of the Sanhedrin as he was a part of that. He came to Jesus in John chapter 3. What can I do to be saved, or what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, you must what? Be born again. Interesting, isn't it? Notice now, Gideon remained faithful before his community and through the demand in verse 30. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar. Excuse me. But his own father stood up for him, thankfully. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad this morning that his own father stood up for him? If Baal is really God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. You see, beloved, this morning, social pressure can be strong at times, but it pays to do what God asks, even though it may cost us. There's people around us that create all kinds of problems, and you say, well, not very many in my life. Well, that may be true in your life, but in our young people's lives today, that's part of the problem we're facing, that the pressures around them cause them to do things that they normally would not do. We are living, and you may be saying, well, we don't see any evil in our day, in our time. Well, you haven't been listening very well, or you haven't been watching very much, or you'd realize what's happening all around us. I don't know if you're aware of the fact, and I have to be careful, but just the other night before the ball game started, or on Thursday night prior to Friday night's ball game, there was shooting, and they had to quit practicing football over here in our stadium, right just across the street and down the way a little ways. That's not right. Am I right? That's not right. These things are happening all around us, and there's evil seemingly everywhere. But how would we respond this morning if God asked us to counter the evil of our day? Can we do anything about it? You know what I'm fearful of? I'm fearful this morning that we as a church, and I'm talking about church in general, have retreated. We've allowed the world to come into the church instead of the church going into the world. Paul said there in the book of Romans, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. We are to penetrate out into the world, and we are to be witnesses. We are to be examples unto those around about us. You see, Gideon was faithful, doing what God asked him to do. He tore down the altar to Baal. He shared what God laid upon his heart to share. He stood up for that which was right and righteous. Thirdly, he was trusting. Notice again there in verse 36, Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out of the dew a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me to more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. That night, God did exactly so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. Amazing, isn't it? You say, that's a miracle or a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. It's God's hand upon the life of Gideon. God knows exactly what he's doing. He just wanted to make sure it was God telling him and not his own thoughts or his own impressions. He wanted to make sure God was showing him what was right and righteous and to do that which is right and righteous. Aren't you thankful this morning for Gideon who did what God asked him to do? You know, it's also interesting, and I think I've said this to you before, but Paul Harvey used to say, now the rest of the story. This is not all of it. Gideon did what God asked him to do. But it's also interesting, the rest of the story, there were 32,000 men who began following Gideon. You say, that's a lot of people. Yeah, it is. God said to him, well, wait a minute, Gideon, that's too many. 32,000 is too many? After all, Lord, what are we going up against? God told him there were too many. He announced to the people in verses 7, or chapter 7, verse 3 and verse 6, anyone, excuse me, who trembles with fear may turn back and leave. Scripture says 22,000 of the 32,000 left. You mean 22,000 out of 32? There's still too many, God said. Take them down to the water and decide from those who lap the water with their hands, that get water and lap it like a dog, and those who don't. You know how many were left? 300. Amazing, isn't it? God said, I got something else for you, Gideon. I want you to hear. He sent Gideon down to where the Midianites were out in the fields, getting ready to attack the Israelites again. I want you to notice this morning that God does what he does on purpose. He doesn't just allow things to happen. He's the reason for it. And as Gideon was listening to those there telling of a dream, one friend telling another friend, he said, I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck this tent and with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing more than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Amazing. God speaks sometimes through ways that we cannot understand. Gideon went back to the camp with only 300 men, while the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern people had 120,000 plus. Not very good odds. Can you imagine? Possibly as high as 135,000 people to 300. Gideon divided his 300 people into three different groups, told them to do as he did. He placed trumpets in their right hands, empty jars and torches inside of them and in their left hands. As these three groups, they went to the Midianite camp. When Gideon began blowing his trumpet, they all blew their trumpets. Gideon smashed his jar and they all smashed theirs. Gideon shouted in verse 21, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. And they all shouted, too. God brought the confusion to the Midianites' camp. They began killing each other, and 120,000 fell dead. You say, that's impossible. Sure, it's impossible for man, but not for God. Praise his name. But Gideon wasn't satisfied. There were about 15,000 that slipped away, thought they'd get away. But Gideon and his 300 men pursued the other 15,000 who fled, killed them too, and with the help of the Ephraimites. God used 300 Israelites who were united, faithful, and obedient to overcome an army of 120,000 plus. What a wonderful story in the scriptures. You think God's still in the business of performing miracles? You think God still wants us to be used in 2021? We need to be united, faithful, and obedient. I believe he wants us to blow our trumpets, individual testimonies, share the good news, share our stories, break our jars or torches, or allow our hearts to be broken and become contrite so God's truth can be shared with the ungodly and the needy, and allow God to use us in any way that he chooses to make us Christ-like disciples. Now, I don't know about you, how long has it been since your heart's been broken? I want to share with you this morning that ours has been broken recently. I can't tell you what it is. My wife and I have gone through some troubled waters recently. You have yours too. But can I share this morning that God is helping? God is helping. We live in a world that's broken this morning. There are people all around us who are hurting. They have broken relationships that are needy. Perhaps we should ask ourselves the question this morning, will we be teachable like Gideon? True. Will we be trusting? You know, before God could work in Gideon's life, he had to get his attention. Does God have our attention this morning? Sometimes he has to do things to get our attention. Once Gideon understood God's plan, he was faithful to follow through. Jesus said to his disciples, and I believe to us in the book of Matthew chapter 28, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to us. Therefore go, or as the original language says, as you're going, make disciples or train everyone you meet of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them or making new disciples to obey everything I have commanded you. My challenge today to you is this. Are we willing to be Christ-like disciples so we can make Christ-like disciples in 2021? How long has it been since we've discipled someone? It's a joy. As a pastor, I had that privilege to do that many times. As a Christian, we should be able to disciple others and lead them and teach them and train them and show them what it's like to live a Christ-like life. You see, beloved, this morning, that's sometimes what it's about. Jesus has asked us to make disciples of all people, regardless of who they are. You see, at the foot of the cross this morning, we're all equal. You believe that? At the foot of the cross, we're all equal. God desires to help us to reach out. Doesn't matter who it is, whomever it is, God can help them through us. Will we be that way? Will we be teachable? Will we be true? Will we be faithful and do and say and be what He wants us to be? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we pause in your presence today. We're thankful for your word. We thank you for the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. We thank you this morning, Lord, for your word and what it means to us. And as Paul admonished Timothy in the New Testament, preach the word. Help us to proclaim your word, and may we not just proclaim it, but may we as your people live the word. Allow your Holy Spirit to minister to us, minister through us. Help us to be able to make disciples of those whom we come in contact with. Show them and teach them and guide them and direct them to become like Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. Thank you again, Father, for what you've given and you're going to give. Continue to bless the church here on Empire this morning. Would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Would you strengthen them? Would you help them, Lord, to be and to become all you desire? You have someone for them, Lord, as a pastor. You know who that is, and we pray that you would guide them, direct them, and work out your will, your way. Thank you again for what you've given and you're going to give. Bless each one who's been with us today, whether it be here in the sanctuary or whether it be on video. Whatever, Lord, you know, and we ask that you'd minister to them, meet their needs, touch, encourage, guide, and direct now. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for allowing us to share your word, His word today with you.